Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Hello, welcome everyone to Post NXT, Post Show, Post Everything. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined by Carlos Toro, back! Karrion Kross's favorite writer, Carlos Toro is here. Carlos, how are you?
Much like the great Samoa Joe returning to NXT to bring order to the chaos, I am back here on Fightful to bring some order into this chaos. I mean, what are you guys doing? You guys doing stuff on Twitch? You guys are doing stuff on YouTube everywhere. The Patreon's going blowing up. I mean, it's chaotic right here. I mean, in a good sense. In a good sense. So
I have no idea. Sean gave me a Twitch, and we're just watching Brock Lesnar matches throughout the day. We're doing interventions with Robert O'Neill. I don't know. I'm getting in trouble every single day, Carlos. I need you to come back and save me because I'm running amok, and Sean clearly can't control me. So, you know, we need you back here, Carlos.
I mean, I'll come back as a special enforcer. I don't know to who. I don't know if it would be to you, to Sean. I don't know who I'd be special enforcing, but sure, I'll do some enforcing around here.
Assistant to the Sean Ross Sapp. It will be your official title when you return to Fightful. Guys, youtube.com/Fightful. You're here. You're watching this show. You might be watching on my Twitter. I think you can do that, like the Periscope or something. You might be watching it on Facebook, wherever you're watching. Leave us a thumbs up. Leave us a little heart if you're watching on Twitter. Subscribe to the channel on youtube.com/Fightful. Go over to Fightful Select, FightfulSelect.com. We surpassed 2,000 subscribers. As a reward for that, I think Hannah and I are doing karaoke in multiple places, I believe. This fall, we're doing that. We're going to do karaoke. Go to Fightful Select, subscribe, because if you subscribe to Fightful Select, you would have known first, before anybody, before those other websites, you would have known that Samoa Joe was returning to NXT. That was the news that Sean Ross Sapp broke on Friday that broke my partner in crime, Joseph Holbert's heart. Carlos, William Regal comes out to start the show. To close TakeOver, he said it's time for a change. He got his Owen Hart on, said enough is enough and it's time for a change. He came out very sad. Sounded like you want to step down. He said, I'm just kind of done. I'm over it. Karrion Kross's title reign has gotten to me. I've put up with a lot of shit, but I could not put up with Karrion Kross. This is the bottom of the barrel when it comes to NXT. Kross comes out. He's a heel, guys. He's a heel, all right? He's a friggin' heel. He comes out and he says, good, get out, fall and pray, TikTok, your time is up. Then we got Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe makes his triumphant return to NXT, really to WWE since he got released in April, makes his triumphant return, and he says, I ain't here for this bullshit, okay? I don't want to be the GM. You can keep your GM spot. I'm here to protect and serve. I'm here to stop all this chaos. I'm here to keep everyone in line. William Regal says, all right, Joe, if you want to come back, that's fine, but you can't be a competitor, and you can't attack anybody unless provoked. Joe says, all right. He tells Karrion Kross to get to stepping. Carlos, what did you think of this segment?
I will admit, I was fully prepared to talk about Samoa Joe becoming the new NXT general manager. And it's kind of a bit of a different situation to what we were all expecting. But I'm totally fine with this because, I mean, let's be honest. I think a lot of people, maybe some people thought that Samoa Joe was going to come back to NXT and wrestle. I mean, it's been abundantly clear for some time that, you know, Joe's not going to be wrestling a full-time schedule anytime soon. So I'm okay with this. And you can still do some good stuff with Joe in the situation. I like the little stipulation where Joe can't touch anybody unless he's been provoked. And you kind of already saw a glimpse of that throughout the night. And the very short segments that Joe appeared in, he was just absolute gold. I mean, kind of ended that first segment telling Karrion Kross, you know, I only have one question. Why are you still in my ring, in this ring? And I thought the way he delivered it was so intimidating, so great that, I mean, it got me really excited over what the future is because, I mean, even though he can't wrestle full time, I certainly wouldn't put it past, you know, maybe a couple of big feuds, starting off with Karrion Kross. So overall, I'll say this is a phenomenal first step in this Samoa Joe return to NXT, this special enforcer role that he has going on. So it certainly kept me interested throughout the night. And I mean, we'll definitely talk about Joe because he's been all over the show tonight.
He was great throughout the entire show. We're going to kind of go with the entire Joe theme here and get all that out of the way. But as far as this opening segment goes, look, Joe has always been phenomenal on the mic, just an absolute killer on the mic. This was no different. I love that he turned down the role. He's like, nah, like I don't need to be the GM. I'm just here to keep people in line because Regal's done a great job as a GM. There was really no need for him to like step down and leave the general manager position. So I'm glad they didn't just, you know, take him out of that role. It's like, all right, here's Joe. He's going to be the GM. I like him more as the enforcer role. Honestly, he stepped right to Kross. Kross might be the champion. Joe doesn't care. Joe's like, look, get out of here, dude. Why are you still here? Get out of here, young champ. Kross, for as big and tough as he wants to portray, he backed down. And that says a lot about Joe as well. I'm glad Samoa Joe is back. Clearly he's not going to wrestle full time. I don't know if he's been cleared, but they teased a lot of stuff tonight and we'll get into that. We go backstage, we hit Chaos. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly still can't stand each other, even though they had an unsanctioned match. So now Carlos, they're going to settle things and just a regular singles match. You beat the shit out of each other with weapons and chains and ladders and go through the stage and all this stuff. And then you just find out who the better peer wrestler is because that's what you do in a blood feud. William Regal says you guys can pick your opponents for next week. Joe kind of backs off O'Reilly. And then Adam Cole, he breaks free from security. He pushes Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe calmly takes his jacket off, turns to Adam Cole, who was trying to get at Kyle O'Reilly, and just locks this man in the coquina clutch. Puts him to sleep, makes him go night-night, and then he says, let me know his decision when he wakes up. What a just brilliant fucking segment. What a brilliant segment.
It encompasses everything that is Samoa Joe. He's tough. He's very much willing to get physical if he needs to and is provoked. And whenever he talks with such authority and such in such an authoritative manner, which is why I was kind of, you know, interested in seeing him in a GM role because I thought he could have done very well. But I also love this enforcer role because it pretty much keeps all of that sort of intact, albeit in a different title. But whenever Joe talks, it's short, sweet, to the point, but he gets the message across. And I think that's what Joe excels at so well, not just, you know, in comparison to rest of WWE, but in all of wrestling. He's, in my opinion, one of the best at, you know, showcasing that intimidation factor, both physically and verbally.
I love that he immediately got kind of physical here and showed that, like, look, this man ain't messing around. If you put your hands on him, he's going to choke you out. You know, that was the little stipulation in the opening segment, and they wasted no time enforcing that and showing that this is what's going to happen if you end up provoking this man. I love that. I don't need him just standing idly by and just kind of keeping the peace and stuff. I like that he got involved immediately here. Adam Cole sold this very well. Blessed be the power game. Onto Adam Cole. And then the final Samoa Joe segment of the 90s backstage with, I guess the final one was in when they shook hands and left, but he's backstage with Regal going over the night. Here comes Johnny Gargano doing Joe. Joe looks very annoyed by this. I don't blame him. Austin Theory's doing a Diesel impression. Joe was like, can you just leave? Can you, he's like a little gnat. Can you just like go away, Gargano? Pete Dunne steps up here, get a little face off between them. I said it earlier, they're teasing some stuff with Joe. We had him go face to face with Cross. We had him choke out Cole. We had him get involved a little bit with O'Reilly. We had him shoo away Gargano, and we had him go face to face with Dunne. These were the guys that were in the NXT title match at TakeOver In Your House, and Joe's kind of threading with a little of with all five of them right here. So they're teasing some stuff. Again, I don't know if he's cleared. I would assume he's not. Don't think he's going to be back full time. They're teasing stuff though, and it feels like he's going to wrestle at some point.
Yeah, I mean, if they let him go get physical like that, I know he didn't bump or anything. All he did was, you know, put in the coquina clutch on Adam Cole. It's still something, because you know how sometimes WWE can be a little bit stingy when it comes to what people can do and cannot do when they're not clear or when they are cleared. So, again, I don't know if they are Joe is cleared, but at the very least, him getting physical like that, it's a very promising sign that he's going to wrestle at some point, because they wouldn't plant the seeds for so many feuds. I mean, you mentioned Gargano, Cole, Cross, I mean, and Pete Dunne. They planted so many seeds that it'd be hard. It'd be a little weird for them to not sort of pay off at least one of those feuds with a wrestling match at the very least.
I would agree. They got to pay off on something with Joe doing his in-ring return. Whenever he gets cleared, if he gets cleared, I think you got to do something there. And we've seen, I mean, I know Joe, his injury seems to be pretty bad considering he hasn't wrestled since February of 2020. So it's been well over a year now. But, I mean, Edge came back, Brian, Christian, guys are returning. At some point, don't know when, it seems like Joe will step in the ring again. Let me catch up on some super chats here. Ricardo El Idolo de Fightful says, Tommy, Timmy, Grizzled Young Veterans ruled. It did. We will get to that later on. A lot of Samoa Joe super chats going on. But the Nerd Guru says, Carlos, Denise is setting stuff on fire. This is why you got to return. Denise literally set her house on fire on the NXT TakeOver post show.
Like I said, I mean, there's a lot of chaos since I left in December. So, I mean, I got to do something about it, because I feel like me leaving in December was kind of like opening Pandora's box and just unleashing all of this.
It was. Brian Medina says, Joe Carlos pro-vacationing. I can't read that word. And then you misspelled my name. What are we doing here? I don't even know that. I can't even understand that super chat. It's been a long day. All right. You got to use smaller words than that with me. Okay. I apologize. Valaba. I'm not even going to try it. Do your best impression of Scott Steiner saying Samoa Joe for the rest of the show. Well, I don't know how much more we're going to talk about Samoa Joe, but I will do. Samoa Joe, fat! He's fat! I can't do a
Scott Steiner impression. He's fat!
There you go. Fat!
I love that clip so much.
Ricardo El Idolo, Joe vs. Dunn, take my money. Ah, dude, that tease ruled. I want Joe vs. Walter. Mm-hmm. Nerdy Guru says, I was really pushing for Joe to go to AEW, which would have been awesome. But as a longtime NXT fan, this makes me happy. Joe is top tier in the world. He definitely is. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he got paid nicely. Whatever Samoa Joe wants to do, he can certainly do. And I'm glad he's in NXT in this role again. As long as he's happy, that's good. Samoa Joe choking life out of Adam Cole is ace.
That was tremendous. That was just phenomenal, I got to say. Tremendous. One of my favorite segments of that whole show.
Yes. Dom L says, with Joe coming back, I just want to throw this out to public discourse. Bring back Ruby Riott. Man, they need to bring back a lot of these people that they cut, because they shouldn't have cut a good number of them.
No, I mean, there's a couple of guys that were cut. Well, there's a lot of guys that WWE has released this year that I think would have gotten a second life if they had just gone down to NXT. And there's no reason why they couldn't have done that. I mean, it's been done in the past, and we've seen the results. It's been positive. And Breezango has been phenomenal since they went to NXT. Finn Balor, you know, has done very well in a lot of different spots since he moved down to NXT. I mean, I don't see why, if you bring back Samoa Joe, why you can't bring back other people that were released.
Yeah, I mean, they could, but then you run the risk of NXT getting too crowded. But AEW is going to run into that same thing. But I know, like, they pushed for Andrade to come back to NXT, and Andrade's like, nah, I don't really want to do that. Somebody in the chat says, you know, let Ruby go where she's going to be used correctly. And I'm totally for that as well. Mm-hmm. Look, she was on the main roster, and she was what she was up there with Liv Morgan. They were just kind of wrestling 3-minute tag team matches. Wherever Ruby goes, she's going to have a more flourishing career, I would suspect. But you probably didn't need to just use these people better, and you don't need to release them at all. Ricardo says, you can just call me Ricardo, Jeremy. We're friends. I know, but I like your name is cool. Ricardo El Idolo de Fightful, at least for the first one. I think I've just called you Ricardo since then, but we're good, Ricardo. I like your name. Cyclops better than Wolverine says, hashtag justice for Adam Cole. Golden, he put his hands on Samoa Joe. They said in the opening segment, don't provoke the man. You can't push him and not expect retaliation. Adam Cole, that's a boneheaded play. You want to look up all-time boneheaded plays, that's what Adam Cole did.
I fully expect one of these days where you see, I don't know, like Kyle O'Reilly pushes Adam Cole into Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe doesn't see that Kyle O'Reilly pushed him, and then they just go to blows, and Samoa Joe just feels that he's justified and just beating the living shit out of Adam Cole.
I'm for that. Guys, get your super chats in. Donate a super chat. Get your question, comment, statement read on air. Let's get into some action here. Imperium against Breezango. Imperium going through some tough times right now after they kicked out Wolf, and then Wolf unfortunately got released. Walter not happy with how things are going. Probably not going to be happy with this match as Breezango picks up the victory. And then after the match, Imperium gets the heat back. They take out Breezango. They drape the Imperium flag over Tyler Breeze. What do you think of this match and where things are going with Imperium here, Carlos?
You know, I thought it was a good match. I thought, it kind of was the classic get the baby faces a victory, but also put the heat on the heels by attacking them after the match. I thought that, it was pretty good in the way that they just immediately beat Tyler Breeze, and they just immediately draped him with the Imperium flag, and then just started standing up over it, almost like as if they were victorious in the match when they clearly lost. And I mean, look, I don't know if this is going to be a trend where they lose matches and then just start beating up teams left and right after the match, but I mean, I want to know what the direction is going to be for Imperium, because I mean, obviously the faction's gotten a little bit smaller, and obviously they can't do a payoff off of that. But I'm curious to see where it goes. It felt like even though Breezango got the victory, Imperium did a good job in making the segment all about them by attacking them immediately after the match, because draping Breezango with the flag, it was kind of good in the sense that, they're out of sight, out of mind. And so all you do is now focus on Imperium, and now the focus on them almost kind of makes you forget that they lost the match.
We don't need to elevate losers here, though. That's my issue, because I'm fine. They want to get their heat back and everything. I would have just rather they win and then they take out Breezango. I don't think they have any real intentions of pushing Breezango. Maybe they will, but is just have them win and then take them out and then stand tall. And then really all the attention is on them. They lost the match. It's another sign of like wins and losses don't really matter, unless it's going to play into Walter coming back and being like, look, you guys keep losing. I'm glad you're like taking guys out, but like the mat is sacred. You guys got to win some shit. Otherwise, I'm going to disown all of you and kill you all. Like, look at me. I don't lose. I don't need to take people out after the match after I lose because I don't friggin' lose. I agree with somebody in the chat who says they should push Breezango. I'm with you, but I don't know if they have that intention. I just don't need losers getting elevated because then you got something like Santos Escobar who's like, hey, I'm coming after the NXT North American title. Like, dude, you just lost to Kushida. I don't know if you've won since then. You lost in the sixth man. You got squashed to the barricade. You're a loser. Why are you getting a title shot? Dork.
Yeah, and the thing about that one is that, you know, it doesn't just look bad on Santos Escobar. It looks bad on all of Legado del Fantasma, who, I mean, they kind of, when they first kind of got together, they almost looked like they were about to set NXT on fire, and then they just go out and lose, you know, with all the title, with the NXT and tag team titles on the line. I get it. Bronson Reed and MSK just won their titles, so it'd be weird if you took the titles off of them, but I feel like, you know, in that instance, you know, it's not just one guy kind of getting their stock down. It's three guys. So, I mean, I don't know if they're just, you know, holding things over until we get to Great American Bash or the next takeover. But at times it did kind of feel like this episode was sort of like, all right, we had these big matches in your house, but we're just going to keep those feuds going even for like another week or two until we just kind of reset, which I thought this whole episode was just going to be an entire reset. You just get to fresh new feuds, but I feel like it didn't quite exactly hit that mark in sort of creating that build to Great American Bash. I thought it was a good episode, but it did kind of feel like it was still like we were still building up to In Your House, even though In Your House just finished.
I do think that they are going to do Escobar and Reed at Great American Bash. They've already got Cole and O'Reilly announced for that. I think they're going to add another big match, and Escobar and Reed is probably it. And am I excited about it? It'll be a good match. I think Escobar is great, but I just don't need him losing, man. I don't need him losing and then getting a title shot. Don't do that. Just don't have him win some matches. I hope he picks up a couple wins between now and Great American Bash, if that's what we're going to do. Nerd Guru sends a super chat, says, who do you guys think the battery is? Tegan for me. So let's talk about this. They aired it coming out of the commercial break. It started at 0%, and then it came up to 10, and then it came up to 20. Who do you think this battery is for, Carlos?
I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, Tegan is about as good a guess as I can immediately think of. They've been teasing quite a number of different surprises and mystery guys coming back. But the way they kind of set that up, a battery. So it was at 0%. Now it's going at 20. It kind of gives me the impression it's going to be a wrestler who's been out of action for some time due to injury. That's so, I mean, hey, if you go to Fightful.com and you go to the injury list, I mean, you can probably start playing the process of elimination from that point onwards. So, because all they did was just show a battery, like an iPhone, almost like an iPhone battery logo, just starting slowly charging up. But other than that, there was no hint as to who it could be. Could be a man, could be a woman, could be a tag team.
Could be you, Carlos.
Could be me.
Could be Carlos.
It could be me. Maybe I did so well in covering Karrion Kross that maybe, maybe I'm booking my flight right now to the Performance Center and see where the Capitol Wrestling Center. Maybe I'll show up there. Who knows?
I think the biggest guesses I've seen are Tegan, Finn, Ridge Holland. He had that really nasty injury.
Yeah, that's true.
And Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong just like quit and hasn't been seen. And I mean, William Regal said, you know, whenever you want to come back, you can. Maybe Roderick Strong is recharged, ready to come back. Those have been the top four guesses that I have seen. I don't know who it is. Everybody's guess is kind of as good as mine here, but we'll see if it's one of those four. We'll see if it's somebody else. It could be RoboCop. He's now, you know, after years of wherever he's been since WCW, he is now fully recharged. Somebody plugged him in, and here we go. RoboCop is coming to NXT. They love that nostalgia shit in NXT. So
I mean, hey, they rebooted the franchise a couple of years ago, so who knows?
Trey Baxter, the former Blake Christian, answers Kushida's open challenge. Good to see Blake Christian get a big spot. He's been killing it on the Indies and New Japan for a couple years now, and he looked great in this match. Kushida always looks good. Kushida's like top tier guy. Kyle O'Reilly strolls down to ringside. He looks very impressed with both men, and Kushida gets the victory with the hoverboard lock. What did you think of this match, Carlos?
As someone who's, you know, like you, has been a fan of, you know, Trey Baxter, the former Blake Christian's work on the Indies and in New Japan, I was really excited that he got to shine and he didn't just get, you know, a match where he just squashes the guy for 2 minutes and that's it. We've seen that a lot of times, but when you make your debut and it's against Kushida and it's the banger of a match, because it was really, really good. And I think it did more to elevate Blake Christian because it not only shows he's a good wrestler. I mean, a lot of guys that they NXT signs and brings them more, they're good wrestlers. That's a given. But when you put him up against Kushida, one of the best wrestlers in the world still, and you put in, he goes toe to toe for quite some time, because it wasn't just Kushida just dominating the match and then Blake and then Trey Baxter just kind of gets a minute or two of like good offense. And that's it. It was 50-50 for a good period of time. And then we got, and then, you know, Kushida won with the hoverboard lock. It was, I'll admit, I was a little surprised that when he locked in the hoverboard lock, it seemed to me like Trey just kind of tapped in like really, really quickly. Like I thought that, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that kind of thinks this, but like you kind of tapping in like a little too quickly instead of trying to fight out of it. Like I don't even say it's a negative mark, but I that's one thing that's kind of always been a thing with me whenever baby faces tap in like really, really quickly whenever they get hit with a submission. But, you know, other than that, love the debut. And I think Trey is going to be someone who NXT will slowly push. I mean, obviously title pictures are pretty full at the moment, but I think they're going to spend the rest of the summer really building him up as, you know, a legit threat to whatever title he decides to go after.
William Regal many weeks ago said they were going to start making additions to the cruiserweight division. Carmelo was the first one. Trey now coming in here as well. I like these additions. You know, we will see what they do with these guys moving forward, because now, like, you can have a great match with Kushida. And we know Christian Casanova and Blake Christian are, like, great wrestlers. So it's not worried about that. And, you know, being showcased against Kushida is great. They got to start picking up some wins, though, which means guys got to lose. But you need some showcase wins for these guys. And they can do it. And we'll see where they go moving forward with these guys. But I thought this was a very nice debut for the former Blake Christian, now Trey Baxter. I mean, you get to go in there, you hang with Kushida for – this match went like 10 minutes or so. So it looked good on Trey Baxter again. Now you've actually got to keep it moving, because we haven't seen Carmelo in a couple weeks since the debut. I think he posted a diamond emoji on his Twitter. So maybe he's hinting that he's part of the diamond mine. Maybe it's just, you know, throw people off the scent. But let's talk about the diamond mine. They're coming next week. These video packages have been airing for over a month now. Some weeks they haven't aired at all, but now it's coming next week. I thought the first time I saw this video package, I didn't think it was an ad for an NXT group. I legitimately thought Dustin Poirier had some new supplement line, and this was it. It was a commercial for his new supplement line. Who do you think, what do you think the diamond mine is?
I mean, I'll admit, I did actually kind of think Casanova might be involved in that way in some way, shape, or form. And I mean, I'm going to stick to that until I'm proven wrong next week, which, you know, I'm definitely going to be wrong. But I mean, I'm totally okay with, you know, I'm interested. They've kind of been doing these, you know, with the battery we were talking about earlier, now with the, you know, with the diamond mine for a few weeks. It's it does kind of feel like, as we kind of approach, you know, the middle of the summer, and we approach the end of it, it does kind of feel like now with Joe also kind of coming in back, it does kind of feel like there's going to be sort of, not necessarily a rejuvenation, but there's going to be sort of a bit of a fresh face lift in NXT. Because it feels like with all these new faces coming in, it does kind of feel like, you know, the landscape is going to change. Even if it's just by a little, it does feel kind of like they're preparing for guys who are going to be an integral part of the brand for the next year or two.
We need that, because the knock on NXT for the past year or so, even more than that, is that especially at the top, it's been the same guys. Look, I love Adam Cole. I think Johnny Gargano is doing great work. I love Pete Dunne. Kyle O'Reilly, this cool Kyle stuff, you can kind of miss me with, at least with the way they're portraying it. But as far as in-ring work goes, I love Kyle O'Reilly. These guys have been at the top of the card for a while now, especially like Cole and Gargano. And I mean, Ciampa main evented tonight. He's not in the world title picture anymore, but he's still a very, very focal point of this show. These guys have been around there for a while. All right. So I am completely fine if we want to start cutting these guys down, phasing them out a little bit and building up some new talent here. Then I don't know what you're doing with like Cole and Gargano and everybody, since it doesn't seem like they're going to go up to the main roster. But I do like that we're going to have an influx of new talent, it seems, and then you start building them up. It's going to take a little while, but I think the NXT audience is ready for something a little bit new based on the reactions some people got at TakeOver and here tonight. As far as Diamond Mine goes, I could see it being like a group led by Roderick Strong. Somebody mentioned that in the chat, Marina Shafir, his wife. You know, she has the MMA background. They're obviously doing a heavy MMA fluence with this stuff. I could see it being a little group led by Roderick Strong. Otherwise, yeah. I got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, and not just that. Sorry, onto that. I mean, we do have, I believe, the WWE draft coming up. So who's to say that we're that some of those guys that we've seen on NXT on top for so long kind of makes that jump to Raw and or SmackDown. So now's about as good a time as you can get to bring in some fresh faces and elevate them. It's going to take them some time to, you know, if a guy like if Adam Cole or Kyle O'Reilly or Gargano moves up, you know, obviously 2 months, unless it's a big, big name, 2 or 3 months is not going to be enough to sort of elevate a new face to that level, but at least it's a start. And you definitely have enough talent all throughout NXT that you can carry the brand without some of these top names if they were to get drafted to Raw or SmackDown.
Frankie Monet backstage, her encore will be next week. So I guess she will be back in the ring. And then she's hanging out with Aaliyah and Jesse Kamea. And is Robert Stone not too happy about this? Maybe we'll get a new Mean Girls here with Frankie Monet.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've seen it when she was Taya in on Impact. We've seen that she is capable of amassing a group together, whether it be of wrestlers or of underlings. We saw that, you know, when she had Johnny Bravo and Rosemary, you know, alongside her. So, I mean, hey, who's to say that it won't be a similar, at least elements of it will be similar to what she's been able to do in the past. And she's been great when she does that. So I think that there are stuff out of Frankie that I really do like, because it does remind me of her work in a good way from Impact. So, and I like, you know, it plants the seeds for, you know, potential feud between Frankie and Robert Stone, or, you know, over Jesse and Aaliyah's allegiances for the future. So, you know, like I said, today was a show where at times they kind of planted the seeds for some new stuff, some new feuds, and at times they kind of felt like the status quo remained unchanged. But this was the case where it was the start of something kind of new.
Guys, I don't think it's Tessa Blanchard in the Diamond Mine. I think we can kind of just drop that whole thing. If it is, I mean, look, they kept it very well under wraps considering how long they've been teasing this. But I don't think it's that. $1 million celebration. Ted DiBiase comes out, is ready to award the $1 million championship to LA Knight. LA Knight comes out and he gives a very heartfelt promo. He's like, "You're my favorite wrestler growing up as a kid. You know, I just wanted to be Ted DiBiase. Anytime we do like play wrestling and stuff, I always wanted to be you and whatnot." And then he did the old turn on him and he said, "You know, I got what I wanted and now I'm dropping what I don't need." He hits DiBiase, he kicks the shit out of him. Cameron Grimes makes the save. I'm not high on LA Knight. I'm not an LA Knight guy, all right? But I thought he was great in this segment. Looking back on him winning the $1 million championship, looks like a good call now. We'll see what the reactions are moving forward. The crowd is still a little lukewarm on him, but this one definitely got some major heat for him. I thought LA Knight was great in this segment. DiBiase did what he needed to do. Cameron Grimes, he's one of the most over guys on the roster right now. Mm-hmm. So I thought this segment was great. What do you think, Carlos?
I agree with you. I loved the segment, and I loved, you know, as you mentioned, at the start of the whole segment, you know, LA Knight was kind of getting a lukewarm response from the crowd. But as he was cutting this heartfelt promo, let's be honest, every single person who has seen wrestling for more than 5 minutes knew where this was coming, and he was starting to get some pretty good heat the longer he was cutting this promo, because I'll be honest, he kind of went pretty long with that heartfelt promo. He went really, really long, almost to the point where he kind of almost convinced me, maybe he is not going to turn heel, and then all of a sudden he does the old, you know, I got what I wanted, blah, 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 and beats the shit out of Ted DiBiase. But I will say, he did the segment masterfully well. It was great. I do still question using the $1 million championship as a, you know, as part of this feud with Cameron Grimes, because I mean, let's be honest. I know they really like to romanticize the history of the $1 million championship, but let's be honest. If you really take a look at the people who's held the $1 million championship,
thank you.
Let's be honest. Okay. With Steve Austin didn't become a superstar because of the $1 million championship being the ringmaster. He became a superstar in spite of that waning down. And when Virgil beat DiBiase and he got the title, I mean, it was a great moment, but they didn't do anything with him. And then when they kind of did the whole thing with Ted DiBiase Jr., it did absolutely nothing for him. Like, thinking that there was going to be this game-changing gimmick, and it went absolutely nowhere. And I mean, look, it's going to be essentially the FTW championship, where he has a title, he has a belt, but it's not an actual championship. And if he defends that, I mean, it's not like WWE is going to recognize it in the history books. Not like, you know, if LA Knight wins the tag team title and wins the NXT championship, suddenly he becomes the Triple Crown guy because he held a $1 million championship. I mean, it's a prop, it's a belt. And, you know, I don't expect that to be something that will elevate him. If anything that's going to elevate LA Knight, it's the feud itself, not the $1 million championship.
Thank you, Carlos. I said this on the TakeOver post show with this title. It's just, it's not what they want it, what they make it out to be. Look, it looks cool. We like it. It's like, oh, cool. You know, it's a custom title and everything. But like you said, DiBiase was a glorified manager for the majority of his time in WWE, WWF. Virgil is Virgil. Austin, he was the ringmaster, and once he dropped that title is when he became a star. And DiBiase Jr. didn't do much with it. I like the $1 million championship. It's got a nice look to it. It's a cool little gimmick. Let's not act like it actually, you know, elevates stars and does a bunch of stuff here.
At most, it was simply done to sort of bring more heat to Ted DiBiase. And, you know, DiBiase is not around. He's not wrestling anymore. And I don't know how much he'll be on television from this point onwards. So we're almost kind of going to uncharted territory with the $1 million championship. And that's the only thing about it that kind of intrigues me, is that we're now in a position where DiBiase is not going to be around as much as he used to when that title was more active.
If they want to actually do something more with it, where it's like a cash-in gimmick or something, like, that's cool. LA Knight seems very interested in the title, so maybe he can elevate it to that level or something more. But for right now, like, it is just kind of a prop. Joseph Q. Ray says, probably reaching here, but Bivens calls Tyler Rust the diamond in the rust. Maybe he's behind Diamond. Look, man, if they do this MMA stuff and then it pans to Malcolm Bivens chilling there and then cutting a promo about how he's training top tier athletes and stuff, I'm all for it. Give me any Malcolm Bivens on the television. All right. Anything that man wants to do, I'm in on it. I love this idea.
I love it too, and I'm gonna be honest. Like, I love it if he's behind us in MMA faction, he would just say like it's the greatest MMA faction, not just in wrestling history, but in MMA history. Like, just completely buries American Top Team, completely buries Black Zillions, just completely buries all the established MMA gyms out there.
I'm for it. Women's tag team action. Raquel Gonzalez, Dakota Kai defeat Casey Catanzaro, Kaden Carter. Been a while since we've seen Casey and Kaden. Nice to see them back on television. They still work very well as a team. And then Raquel, some teases here. I actually thought when they hit the double team move on Dakota that was kind of it, but Raquel makes a save. Dakota and Raquel end up picking up the victory here. I thought Casey and Kaden got a little bit too much, considering we have the NXT Women's Champion in this match. Joseph and I talked about this on Monday on Twitch. It's like, you want to establish Raquel as a dominant champion, but then you want her to have like good matches and go 50-50 with people as well. Like, if you're just going to have her dominate and run roughshod over the division, like, just have her destroy these people. You ain't doing anything with Casey and Kate, and you haven't used them on television for months. Just have them run through these two.
Yeah, I mean, look, the closest thing we got to a push with Kaden and KC as the tag team was, you know, the tag team tournament. I think they went to the semifinals, but it's not like it was sort of like the launching point of something big. They, you know, they weren't on television. They're not on television every single week. They're not doing a lot of stuff. So, you know, I'm okay in the sense that if you give them some good offense this week, that in turn they start to actually start piling on wins here and there and then start to become a contender. Because, I mean, look, for at times as limited as, you know, Casey can be as a singles wrestler, she excels really, really well when you pair her up with Kaden and you can hide some of the limitations they have. And it's a loaded women's tag team division and as far as the good wrestlers that are competing there. So you can have good matches. I just think that, you know, my understanding is, if you're going to be giving them some good offense against the tag champs, you better be doing something. You better lead to something to them being contenders. You don't have to put the titles on them, but at the very least, make them a threat for the entire division for a long time instead of just being, you know, bottom of the barrel tag team or never real contenders at all. So I'm hopeful, but I do agree with you. If they don't do anything with KC and Kaden, then, I mean, this did kind of feel like a bit of a waste, giving so much offense to them.
Guys, reminder, get your super chats in, get your question, comment, statement read on air. Leave us a thumbs up on the video. Subscribe to the channel, youtube.com/Fightful. Go to over to Fightful Select. Subscribe to that. Sean Ross Sapp's breaking all the news in pro wrestling. It's where every other website gets their wrestling news from, FightfulSelect.com. Io Shirai, after returning last week, thanks to Poppy, she comes out. She's ready to tell her next target, but here comes Candice LeRae. Candice says, things have changed a little bit. You're not the champion. I am. Andy Hartwell attacks her from behind. They put the boots to her for a little bit. And then Zoe Stark makes the save. Zoe Stark comes in, helps Io fight him off. Io takes them both out with a springboard dropkick. And then Io and Stark, it looks like we're setting up for them against Candice and Indy for the women's tag team titles here. What do you think, Carlos?
I'm okay with it. I mean, I'll admit to a certain extent, I thought Io was going to eventually make her way up to the main roster to run SmackDown. But, you know, I'm still happy she's in NXT because she's still having phenomenal matches whenever she's put in a position to have these great matches here and there. But, you know, putting in Zoe Starks and, you know, essentially kind of making a makeshift tag team, I think it's okay right now. I think it's going to lead to a nice, you know, short-term feud. But, I mean, you go from Io Shirai from being this dominant champion and then suddenly all of a sudden you kind of transition her to being just a tag team wrestler in the long term. I don't think that's the vibe that I'm getting. I think it's going to be just a case of elevating Candice and Indy sort of more by, you know, if they have a feud and they have a match at Great American Bash, that you further elevate Candice and Indy as tag champions and just sort of legitimize the belt even more by having them beat such a, you know, previously dominant champion and Io.
It does seem like this might be a short-term feud heading into Great American Bash where they do a tag team match between these two. And look, I'm for it because that'd be a great match. These four women. And Candice and Indy need, I'd like to see them have a good run with these titles. I think they're doing great work with Johnny and Austin Theory. And I like the little index story that they got going on. I don't know how much more mileage they're going to get out of it. At some point, they got to do the big hookup type deal, do the big kiss and everything. But I actually like that kind of stuff. I thought they'd done it very well. I would like to see it progress a little bit more because we haven't had that. I mean, we had the little hug last week, but there was nothing on it this week. I would like to see Candice and Indy get a nice little run here. And so, like, if they're going to feud with a former NXT Women's Champion and then Zoe Stark, it elevates Zoe Stark a little bit too. I like this little feud. I'm all for it.
Yeah, and you put in Zoe in there, it kind of raises her profile a bit by being with three already established women in NXT. I think it also does a good job in sort of bringing her up to their level, at least perception wise. So, I mean, even if Io and Zoe lose this feud, I think it's at the end of the day, it's going to be more beneficial to Zoe.
Main event time, Timothy Thatcher, Tommy Ciampa against Grizzled Young Veterans, tornado tag team match. No tag. You don't need to hold the tag ropes on this one. Some big spots in this one. The Doomsday Device on the floor looked like it sucked. Ciampa also going on the top of the announce table there, which did not snap. That looked like it sucked.
That was painful.
Yes, the air raid crash on the table. The table didn't break. That looked like it sucked as well. And then Ciampa and Thatcher end up getting the win with the fairy tale ending into a double submission on Drake. And this is a hard hitting match. I thought it was great. Some of the stuff, especially at the end, looked like it definitely sucked with stuff not breaking and whatnot. But I thought this was a fantastic close to the show. How about you, Carlos?
I loved it too. I thought it was, all four of these guys worked their ass off in this match. I love the finish. The double submission finish was it accentuated just how brutal Tommy and Timmy as one. A super chat kind of called them a love to Tommy Timmy. I like that. I like the little nickname, but it does, for a while, I kind of thought that this was going to be a case where, Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso was going to be, they were going to be an attack team and then, it was just kind of fizzle out. But I'm pleasantly surprised that they kind of are giving them a longer run than I thought. It kind of reminded me of, how they did with Sheamus and Cesaro a few years back with the bar and how that tag team started. That ended up being a really good run, at least in my eyes. So I see another similar type of run. I wouldn't doubt them that if they were to win the tag team titles, I wouldn't be surprised if they become multiple time tag team champions. I think there's a lot you can do between these two guys. And I mean, let's be honest, they are about as brutal and about as physically demanding as far as getting a good match out of them. But you know what? They're so good that they are more than capable of, carrying the tag team division. And who knows, if they were to get a tag team match with MSK, and there was kind of like a little bit of a hint to it before the match where you saw Timothy Thatcher just going to take, I think it was Nash's popcorn bucket and just start eating off of it. It was a great little segment, but I thought it was really good in the sense that, maybe that kind of plants a seed a little bit. I do hope, part of me kind of hopes that if a feud starts to hope that it's because MSK feels insulted that Timothy Thatcher stole their popcorn.
What a way to kick off a feud. Like, hey man, you took our popcorn. Now we don't like you over this stuff. And
there's been better feuds started with worse stuff.
100%. What a great styles clash that match would be. MSK, they are very much into the kind of innovative offense with the double team moves and obviously a lot of high flying and whatnot. And Ciampa and Thatcher are just going in there to beat the shit out of you. So they're worried about all these flips and flipping over the ring post and whatnot. Overall, like, I've been down on NXT for the last few weeks. I said they hoodwinked me into thinking it was a good show when they moved to Tuesdays, and then it's just kind of dry. I didn't think TakeOver was all that great, at least by TakeOver standards. This week felt fresh. Maybe it was just Samoa Joe and his presence coming in. I hope it's more than that. I hope they continue this and they can build off of this show, because it felt like a reboot of some sorts. It felt like it had some energy that's been missing from the show for a while now. And I'm cautiously optimistic when it comes to NXT moving forward. How about you, Carlos?
I agree. And I think I would sort of take, as a viewer, I think I would sort of take this week and use this week all the way through Great American Bash and maybe even like the week after Great American Bash as sort of a transitional period, because look, it's not the first time NXT has kind of felt like, okay, it's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place where it doesn't look like it has a ton of momentum, but then you give it a few weeks, you give it a couple of months, and then you bring in some fresh faces, you do some new stuff, and then suddenly NXT is revitalized again. It kind of feels like we're in that period, you know, right now where we're just kind of waiting for that big, big thing to sort of just explode, and it just kind of gives this new energy and this new look to NXT. And I do think that once we get to sort of a place where we have the full crowds back and we have, you know, who's to say, you know, NXT maybe does tours around, does, you know, maybe their takeovers at outside of Florida, that maybe that maybe we'll get into that point where it's going to be, you know, a new era for NXT. Is, you know, we've seen different types of eras as far as who's the guy out top and who are the big supporting acts around the show. Kind of feels like with, you know, with the battery charging, with the diamond mine, with Joe back, you know, with the draft coming up, some guys might be leaving NXT, that we are kind of slowly approaching into that new era of NXT.
I hope we are. I hope we are, because the show needs to be freshened up a little bit. So yeah, I like the takeover show just wasn't good. And the crowd wasn't good for that show either. And I think that was a reflection on the product more than the crowd. Mm-hmm. Tonight, the crowd had a little bit more life to it. And I mean, I think they had more life to it because the show had more life to it. So it's easier to react to these things. Hopefully, again, they can keep this momentum going forward into Great American Bash and then into, I guess they're doing a takeover at SummerSlam. Those are what the reports are. So hopefully this builds to something. And we do kind of get that next crop, that next wave of NXT guys. Like, I love Cole. I love Gargano. Love Ciampa. I love these guys. But move them down a little bit. Elevate some new people. Samoa Joe's back. That's the biggest thing. Samoa Joe's going to add a freshness and a layer to the show that it hasn't had in a while.
Yeah. I mean, look, Joe was the biggest thing about this show, rightfully so. And there's no doubt that Joe is going to be an integral part of NXT moving forward. And I think that's a great thing to have, because Joe, even in a non-wrestling capacity, can do some fantastic stuff. I mean, all you got to do is listen to his commentary on Raw throughout the last few months before it was released. And he was fantastic in that role.
Look, Joe's great at anything he does. This man, he joked in an interview. He's like, God bless me with the ability to just be great at everything. And like, it's kind of true. This man just rules at every single thing he does. Carlos, thank you for joining us, buddy. Where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Carlos Toro Media. I do. If you kind of want to know more about the world of boxing, I tweet a lot about boxing. Obviously, today I just posted a new newsletter. I do a newsletter kind of similar in a similar role to sort of how the Wrestling of Silver newsletter does. So just to kind of give an example for the wrestling audience here that I do on Substack. It's on my Twitter that you can go and subscribe. And it's been a hell of a day, a hell of a past 48 hours in the world of boxing. So there's almost 6,000 words in that newsletter, and there's going to be another newsletter in a couple of days with a lot more stuff breaking down. So if you're interested in boxing or you want to know more about it, follow me on Twitter. I will have my pinned tweet is the latest newsletter. You can subscribe to it, the free or the $5 version. You're going to get a lot of good and exclusive content on there. So listen, I'm always up to talk some wrestling, but boxing has also been my one true big love. Especially ever since I came to Fightful back in 2016, when I had no idea what my role was going to be there aside from doing boxing stuff.
Carlos is the only reason I know anything about boxing. And anytime I need to know something about boxing, I just message Carlos and be like, hey, who's going to win this fight? And then I give my uneducated opinion and I look foolish most of the time. Yeah, subscribe to Carlos's new letter. Go follow him at Carlos Toro Media. You see it right there on your screen. Give him a follow. Check him out for all your boxing coverage. I also slide in his DMs when I need stuff translated as well. So you see his name on Fightful a lot. The Karrion Kross's favorite writer. Your boy got punked tonight, Carlos. He got punked by Samoa Joe.
Listen, I mean, it's Samoa Joe. I mean, you're not going to find many people in the world who are going to stand, you know, toe-to-toe with Samoa Joe and just, you know, not look intimidated. But listen, he was awestruck. Everyone was awestruck. I was awestruck by Samoa Joe. So maybe he and Scarlett just wanted to go to the back and just celebrate the fact that Joe is back on NXT. So my boy Karrion is still there. He's still champion. Don't need to worry about that for a while. He just needs to kind of keep his hands in his pocket at all times, and we're good.
Carlos, you need to write an article that headline Karrion Kross punked by Samoa Joe falls in praise. That's going to be the headline for this article. Guys, thanks for joining us. We will be back tomorrow listing your boy. I think it's at a special time because Sean is interviewing some guy named Bobby Lashley, I think.
Who's Bobby Lashley? I don't know. He's only WWE champion, so.
I think listing your boy is at a special time tomorrow. I don't know what time that's going to be, but keep it here. YouTube.com/FIFO. We have the distraction Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern on this channel. Joseph will be back from his sabbatical. As he's very just upset at all of wrestling. He'll be back. Go to twitch.tv/FIFOGaming. Give us a follow over there. Sub to the channel. Again, FIFOselect.com. Go there. We're breaking news and all that fun stuff. Go to FIFO.com. We cover a lot of wrestling. We cover MMA. We do MMA watch alongs. We do a lot of fun stuff here on the channel, everybody. Just on the website overall. Y'all enjoy your night. We'll be back on tomorrow with listing your boy Carlos. Thank you. I appreciate you, Carlos. Everyone, y'all have a good
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.